Welcome, everyone, this morning. So good to see you here. And a big welcome to any guests we have here this morning. Let's give them a clap. Come on. Let's give them a big elevation welcome this morning. So good to have you here. And what about the weather? I think the weather's starting to turn towards more of that winter weather, isn't it? Getting a bit cooler and a bit colder. But doesn't matter. It's all good. Hey, has anyone ever watched the TV show called Family Feud? Family Feud, do you understand the concept? It's this game show on TV, and what they do is they go out and they survey people, and they survey 100 people, and they ask them a question, and then what has to happen is the people who are playing, the contestants, have to guess what the answers are to that survey. And so I'm going to do a little bit of a survey here today, and this could be dangerous, but I'm going to ask you a survey. The survey is this. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? And what do you want out of life? And I'm not going to ask you to give me answers. So that was a bit of a bomb, but anyway, whatever. If you were to ask a random bunch of 100 people what it is that they are looking for in life, the number one answer they come back with is, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Now, they may not say it in so many words, and they may not realize that, but they want to be happy. Underneath all the actions of their life, that's what they're looking for. That's why people seek relationships. That's why people go into careers and try to build career. That's why people save money over many, many years. They save money. That's why people get into substances and entertainment, all these different things that they do, because they believe that over time that these things that they are giving their life to will bring them happiness. Happiness. In the long run, it'll bring them happiness. They think relationships, ambition, looks, money will bring them happiness. That's why when you leave here today, if you have a mobile phone and you're on a website, or you turn on the TV, or you go and watch a movie, or you listen to the radio, you will hear what? You will hear advertising and marketing trying to tell you what you need in your life to have happiness. You need this new car. You need this new dress. You need this makeup. You need this toy. It's trying to tell you this is what you need. And if you will buy, own, get, or have these things, then you will find happiness. You will achieve happiness. Even the wisest man in the Bible, the wisest man that ever lived, we believe, King Solomon, he has an entire book in the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, where he talks about his search for happiness. He talks about trying to find it in material possessions. And he was one of the most wealthiest men. He didn't find it there. He talks about trying to find it in knowledge. He searched for all the knowledge under the sun. He didn't find it there. He talks about trying to find it in substances, in parties, in drink, in whatever that might be. He didn't find it there. He then talks about trying to find it in lust, in women, 700 wives and 300 concubines. You know, I don't think he thought this through very well, because that's 700 mothers-in-laws. So, you know, he obviously wasn't that wise, but he's searching to find happiness, and even he doesn't find it in those things. Basil Pascal says this: all men seek happiness. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and others avoiding it is the same desire in both, attended with different views. The will never takes the least step but to this object. This is the motive of every action of man, to try to find happiness. There's a document in the United States called the Declaration of Independence, and it says this, and we know possibly, we've possibly heard these first parts, but we may not have heard this, the next part. It says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And we fully believe that all men and women before God are equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? The pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. King Solomon, many thousands and thousands of years ago, pursuing happiness. These founding fathers of America pursuing happiness in a world that is looking for happiness. Everyone knowingly or unknowingly is pursuing that. Well, today, if you haven't guessed, you probably see it behind me. We are starting a series called The Pursuit of Happiness. The Pursuit of Happiness. And over these 3 weeks, we want to try to get a viewpoint, a perspective of God on what His view of happiness is. And we're going to try to answer as best as we can some of these questions, like, is it okay to be happy? Is it okay to be happy? Is it okay to desire happy? What habits can lead to happiness? What are some of the habits we can have in our lives? How can we experience happiness even in dark times? And I pray that as we look at some of these questions and hopefully answer them for you, I pray that we can discover how the pursuit of happiness can fit in with our Christian lives with God with us. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time here this morning. Speak to us through your word and enlighten us in your ways. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. You know, studies have shown that happy people have lower blood pressure, better immune systems, better sleep, better sex, the married ones, lower stress hormones, lower risk of stroke and heart attack, and generally live a longer lifespan. So being happy is not just an emotional feeling. Being happy is also a physical outcome in our lives. It is good for us. But the question for Christians around happiness and being happy is, where does God stand in all of this? Does God want us to be happy? Does God want us to be happy? And I was always told, and I've said this myself, I've preached this, I've said this to people, that Christians are meant to have joy, not to be happy. That we are supposed to have God's joy in our life, not be happy, because happiness is around happenings, but joy is around things of God. And as Christians, we can tend towards replacing the word happy with other words. You know, instead of having a happy life, we say we want the blessed life. Has anyone ever heard that? Or we want a joy-filled life. We go hashtag blessed life, man. I'm living my blessed life. Hashtag joy-filled life. And we feel like that's so much more Christian. That language more aligns with what God has to say on this topic. But it's interesting that if you look into the Bible, it really doesn't make that distinction. It really doesn't make the distinction between happiness and joy that we think it does. John Piper says this. He says, if you have nice little categories for joy is what Christians have and happiness is what the world has, you can scrap those when you go to the Bible, because the Bible is indiscriminate in its uses of the language of happiness and joy and contentment and satisfaction. In fact, if we look into the original language of the Bible, if we look into the Hebrew in the Old Testament, the word for blessed in the Old Testament of the Bible was Asher. Asher is also another word for, guess what? Happy. Happy. So when we read Psalms 1, and you may or may not know this scripture, but Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but those who delight as in the law of the Lord. And it continues on. It says, blessed is the one. You could just as correctly say is, happy is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Even in the New Testament Bible, where Jesus uses the word, gives the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and the Beatitudes, what are the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are attitudes we should have in the way that we live our lives. There's these attitudes that he gives to us. We call them the Beatitudes. He uses the Greek word, don't quote me on this, arikeros. Do you want to guess what that word means? It means blessed or happy, quick learners. It means happy. So when we read Matthew 5, verses 3 to 10, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. And it goes on and on. You can also read it as saying, happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the meek. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy are the merciful. See, the Bible is all right with interchanging the words blessed and happy. And if that's the case, then maybe we need to redefine in our own Christianity, in our own Christianese, in our own sort of theology that we've created, that the word happy is an okay word for us to use as Christians. Maybe I'm challenging a few religious spirits here this morning. Maybe I'm challenging a few things. Oh, well, I thought it was always about joy. But the word joy, happiness, blessed, they're interchangeable. And I want to back it up by saying this. It is possible to have a self-centered happiness. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking about a happiness that searches for joy or experiences that bring feelings to my life, and no matter what the consequences, no matter what the outcomes for other people, no matter how it may or may not line up with the Word of God, what I'm talking about today is a Christ-centered happiness, a happiness that draws upon the Lord and not some experience, situation, or thing. And here's the big takeaway from today's message. If you don't get anything else, here's the big takeaway. Happiness is a posture, not a circumstance. It's a posture, not a circumstance. The circumstances and situations you face in life cannot be the source of your happiness. So I'm not talking about that kind of happiness today. I'm talking about a happiness that comes from a posture that we have. So you may say, if only I was thin, rich, or beautiful, then I would be happy. But this is a lie. That's not the happiness I'm talking about this morning. See, happiness is a posture of a heart and a perspective of vision. Happiness isn't feeling good all the time. Instead, it's a posture and perspective. It's an attitude, not a thing. It's an attitude of life that we live in. An attitude. Happiness is an ability to delight in today, move on from yesterday, and look forward to tomorrow. And there is only one way that it is possible to live a life of happiness like this. Only one way, and that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot experience happiness like this through yourself. You cannot experience it through your spouse or your partner or your children or your job or your bank account. Only Jesus can simultaneously fill the space of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Only Jesus can bring happiness to your life. Hebrews 13, 18, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today, maybe you're in this place, and I'm talking about we can find happiness in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never thanked Jesus for dying on the cross for your sins. Maybe you've never asked Him to be your Lord and Savior of your life. You've never invited Him into your life. I want to give you a chance at the end of my message, as all eyes are closed, every head is bowed, to put your hand up and say, Bronson, I want to know this Jesus. I want to say yes to inviting Jesus into my life. And if you've never done that, I would be so privileged to lead you in that prayer. Let me unpack three thoughts for you this morning on how we can be happy if you're taking notes. Number one, delight in today. Say that with me, delight in today. Turn to the person next to you and say, delight in today. Did you know that we are allowed to derive delight and pleasure from our day-to-day life? Did you know that? Christianity is not just a life of rules and regulations and fake piety and living a life of whipping ourselves. We can take delight and pleasure in day to day. How do I know this? Because God created pleasure. God could have given us tasteless taste buds. God could have created some sort of nutritional food for us to eat that had no flavor, no taste, no pleasure for us. And we could have got all the nutrients and proteins and everything that we needed. But instead, for some reason, God has given us taste buds that find pleasure and delight in eating different types of foods. And for you, it might be eating savory or sweet. It might be eating meat or lollies. I don't know, but God has given us taste buds to what? To enjoy the food that we eat. God could have easily devised some other mechanism for conceiving children. Instead, He gives us this beautiful gift of sex that He has given us, which is a pleasurable experience, and yet He could have just given us any other way to have children, but He's given us the pleasure of sex. God has created us to experience and discover pleasure and desire. God could have looked at all He created and said, it is functional. It is functional. But you know what God said? God said, it is good. It is good. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I believe that we can find more delight in today with God and Jesus than without God and Jesus. The world may say, no, if you find God, then you have to give away pleasure. You have to give away delight. But no, I say that with God and Jesus, we can have more delight in our life. It's not because God puts a rose-colored pair of glasses on our eyes and makes us see everything perfect. You know, like, oh, I've just had a car accident. My face is all smashed up. How are you going? Oh, praise the Lord, brother. I'm amazing, man. You know, I'm not talking about being stupid. But what God does is it rather than that, God has a magnifying glass that takes the good and is able to make it greater for us. He takes the good. There may only be a small amount of good in our life that is happening for us, but with God, He is able to take that and magnify it so that we can find delight in today. See, the problem we face is that so often we choose to take delight and pleasure from what sin offers instead of what God offers. Instead of the life that God offers, instead of the pleasure God offers in life with Him and lived His way. So one, we can be happy by taking delight in today. We can be happy by number two, moving on from yesterday. Moving on from yesterday. The two of the greatest thefts of happiness and joy today are bitterness and unforgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness will keep you in the regrets and hurts of yesterday rather than delighting in what is today. They will rob you of your today to keep you in the regrets and hurts of yesterday. But with Christ, come on, we know this. With Christ, we can let go of our past. With Christ, we can stop yesterday from robbing from our today. We can stop the past from stealing from our today. And that doesn't mean that the offense, the hurt, the abuse, it doesn't mean the shame, the pain, or whatever it is that has happened was right. I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't mean that it was right, and it doesn't mean that the hurt may stay with us for some time in our lives, but in Jesus, we can be free. I believe wholeheartedly in Jesus, we can be free from the cage of the past that wants to keep you in the past. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So the past can try to rob us of our joy today. Another thief we can experience from our past is the good old days. The good old days, looking back and trying to romanticize the past, looking back in the past and thinking that yesterday was better. And when we look back and we say yesterday was better, that steals us from the ability to enjoy, to take delight, to be happy in our today. See, we can get caught up in the romanticism of our past that we get stuck in our past and don't see the goodness and happiness we could be experiencing today. And here's the thing about the good old days. The good old days thought the good old days were better too. When you were back in your good old days, you were then thinking about the good old days back then too. They thought that they were better as well, but no, we live in today and we can take delight in letting go of the past. And three, we look forward. We can be happy by looking forward to tomorrow. If the kids could come, that'd be great. Romans 8, 28, and we know that those who love God, that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. If we know that God works all things together for good, how many people believe that today? Come on, do we believe the Bible and what God says in His Bible? If we believe, if we know that God works all things together for good, how can we not look forward to tomorrow? Despite our past, despite our today, God can bring good to our tomorrow. He can bring good to our tomorrow. The posture of a happy life is one of gratitude. Gratitude says, yesterday was for my growing. Who knows that, man? Some of the things we went through yesterday, that has grown us to where we are now. That was good for my growing. Today is a gift. Every day that we have on this earth is a gift from God. And God's future for me is good. God's future for me is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So today, I want to say that, just to set a foundation for this series as we go on, that yes, God is okay for us looking for happiness in our life, but we need to check to see where are we looking for that happiness. You won't find happiness in the circumstances of life. You will only find it in your perspective of life. And what are you allowing to shape the perspective of your life? Who are you allowing to shape that perspective? Are you allowing the advertising that you see? Are you allowing the ad of Coke that sells that amazing lifestyle, and then at the very, very end, there's a bottle of Coke? Are you allowing McDonald's in their Happy Meal to tell you what happiness should be? Your perspective, what is it? What is shaping your perspective? See, our perspective of what a happy life can be like must be shaped by a God view of life. And it's only in a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus, that we can truly reach a place in our life that we can say, I am in a place of happiness, that I am finding true happiness. See, only with Jesus as the foundation of our life can we experience true happiness, contentment, satisfaction, and joy. See, only with Jesus can we say we will delight in today, even though today might not be that delightful. Only in Jesus can we say that we will move on from yesterday when yesterday wants to hold us so tight and keep us bound up. Only in Jesus can we say we can look forward to tomorrow because we believe that there is a greater tomorrow for us because God works all things together for good for those who believe and love in Him. It's in Jesus Christ. And so it's okay to be happy, but we just have to make sure that our happiness is placed in the right person, the person of Jesus Christ. And today, as all eyes are closed, every head is bowed, today maybe you're in this place and you've never invited Jesus into your life. Maybe today, let me back it up. Maybe today you're in this place and you're looking for happiness. Today you're in this place and you're trying to find purpose in life. You're trying to find experiences or feelings, and you can look for it in relationships. You can look for it in substances. You can look for it in bank accounts. You can look for it in prestige and career and all these things. And what you find is, just like King Solomon, you find it's vanity of vanities. It is a search for nothingness. You cannot find it in those things. And today I'm telling you, you can find happiness in Jesus Christ.